You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or KNE World Network, LLC.
And save her, let her believe it, get on her knees and pray her, then pray her, and never look back. Once the world forgave you, then do right, then do good, and it's all hard to do right, when you do wrong, when I turn right, but you turn all the way, lele.
Henshaw, and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima, energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
Welcome to A Conversation with Dawn Karima. I'm Dr. Dawn Karima, and I am delighted to welcome all of our friends to our visit, our conversation today. Family over everything. Family first. We believe in families around here, and so does our distinguished guest today. Will you please introduce yourself to our listeners?
Hello, this is Aaron Johnson, founder and president of What Black Family Adoption Assistance.
Welcome to our show. Thank you so much for joining us today. Let's get started. What does what mean?
We're geared towards helping Black families adopt. I started this back last year. My wife and I, we had adopted our two sons, and we noticed the lack of Black families adopting Black children, which was an issue because there are many Black birth mothers and expectant mothers that would prefer, you know, to have Black families available to adopt their children, but they don't always have a large pool to select from. So, long story short, we decided to start this to fill in the gap, to help encourage more African-American Black families to adopt. We give out adoption grants because, you know, adoption, private adoption can be very pricey. So that's briefly what we do.
Well, what a wonderful mission. I hope someone has thanked you for doing what you do, but just in case, I'll say thank you. Thank you for caring about these families.
Thank you.
There's so much in what you said that I'm learning from right now. I always think of African-American families, you know, the importance of the family, the value and love for children and families. And yet, wow, it's shocking to me to find out that it is so difficult for African-American families to adopt. Why is that?
Well, there's a lot to unpack in that. Well, first, let me clear one thing up from the jump. We do adopt. You know, we've been adopting for a long time, both formally, informally, and everything in between. So this is not necessarily true that we don't adopt.
Okay.
There's not many, or you don't see many of us adopting through your private domestic infant adoption, you know, formal situations. Right. Mm-hmm. When you think of adoption, mm-hmm. you know, in terms of pop culture, you see a lot of, you know, maybe your celebrities, like your Angelina Jolie's adopting,
right.
you know, a bunch
mm-hmm.
of kids. You see when you're, you know, out and about, you see, you know, you see a lot of families, I guess a lot of white families with, you know, kids that are clearly adopted because they're Black, Asian, Hispanic, you know, something doesn't look like them. You see that a lot, but you don't see it as much with Black folks for many different reasons. One is, you know, sometimes it's within the family and,
mm-hmm.
you know, sometimes they're not always upfront about it, or maybe they are, but, you know, it's just harder to tell. And then also, so again, that's going back to the point that we do adopt, it's just maybe not as visible. And then also, when it comes to domestic infant adoption through the agencies, they're not really reaching out to Black families. That's really the big issue until recently. They're trying to do more, but they're typically going out after people who are in, you know, white communities, white churches. Those are the people that they already have connections with, that's who they speak with. So, of course, they're not going to get a large pool of African-American families for their birth parents to choose from. But on the flip side, you know, they have an in with minority communities when it comes to, you know, women who are about to give birth, who are choosing adoption for their children. So there's a disconnect there. And so they have access to all these expectant and birth mothers who are looking to place their child that are Black, but don't have connections with, I guess, the other side of the African-American community, where there are families that are willing to adopt these children. So that's one part of it. And then another part is just, I guess you could say, maybe lack of education or understanding about the process. And it's a very daunting process to go through. And, you know, I can't speak for everybody, but for me, you know, even though my parents adopted, I wasn't, not me, but my other brother, but I still, even with that, was not very much exposed to the adoption process. I don't remember agencies coming to speak to my church or my community. Mm-hmm. I wasn't exposed to it, whereas, again, a lot of white families are. And then also, once you are exposed to it, there's one other barrier, and this is not just for Black people, this is for a lot of people, is the cost. I'm speaking specifically to domestic infant or international adoption. You know, when you adopt through the foster care system, which is a whole other topic, you know, things are a little less costly, or actually a lot less costly, but I won't get into that. There's differences between the types of adoption. But essentially, when you do a domestic infant adoption, it's a big cost. I mean, anywhere from $25,000 all the way up to $60,000.
Oh, wow.
It's a big barrier for anyone, Black or otherwise. So, and I guess just to kind of bounce off that, you know, when we were going through the process for our son, I was looking into adoption grants because I noticed that there were specific grants for specific situations. Like, for instance, I've seen grants geared towards people who are adopting special needs. I've seen grants geared towards people who are adopting through a specific agency. You know, maybe that agency has their own foundation to help their families, right? And various other situations I see grants for. So I'm thinking in my head, surely there's a grant specific to Black families that are looking to adopt, because my agency, and I've heard from other people, they've all told me that there is a need for more Black families to do domestic infant adoption. So I'm thinking clearly there's going to be a grant for it, because if you think about it, you know, there's countless scholarships and programs to help African Americans get into college and, you know, other aspects of, you know, our life, our community. You know, there's a lot out there to help us, to help, you know, bridge that gap. So I figured there would definitely be something like that in adoption. And I found that there really wasn't. Or if there was, I couldn't find it. So that's, you know, what led us to start what. So all that to say, cost is a big barrier.
Of course. And that makes the work you do doubly precious, really, because you have people that have willing hearts, that they desire to have a family, and then the cost is the only thing standing in the way. You referenced your own personal journey, and would you feel comfortable sharing with us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I can share on that. So my wife and I, in December, we just celebrated our 10-year anniversary.
Congratulations. Anniversary.
Thank you. Having children was always part of the plan, you know, from day one. So we, like many families who end up adopting, we had some infertility issues. We tried for years and just couldn't get pregnant. And I know, I don't want to speak for my wife, but I know for me, I was never against adoption or anything. It just never, it was never a plan until we struggled with adoption and fertility. And then even, through all that, it took a while for us to pull the trigger on adoption because, as a, man of God, faith in God, I didn't want to seem like I was losing faith that, we would get pregnant. I struggled. At what point do we pull the trigger on this? Are we saying we don't trust that, we're going to get pregnant but eventually, through prayer and just researching and various things, we finally decided to move forward with adoption. So we almost became foster parents, but that route wasn't the way for us. We ended up going into adoption, and we were able to adopt our first child in 2017. The process went by pretty quickly. They told us, an agency will never guarantee you a time frame for, when you'll be matched with a child and the child placed with you. But they pretty much told us, being a Black couple, looking for a Black child, we would go pretty quickly. And that was exactly the case for us. It felt like a long time, but between finishing our home study and being placed, it was 3 months. And, that may sound long to a lot of people, but that's short. A lot of people end up waiting months or maybe even years to be matched. So that was pretty quick. And then it was roughly the same with our second son, who we adopted in 2019. That's how we got to this point. That's our story.
That's beautiful. That's beyond beautiful, really. I mean, congratulations on such a wonderful and delightful family. God loves adoption. There's adoption all through the Bible. We're adopted into the family of God, right? And there's lots and lots. There's foster parents. There's adoption. There's donors and surrogates. I mean, there's all kinds of things. God has all kinds of ways to give us the desires of our hearts. And so one of the things I hear is that you had the courage to change, that you were willing to partner with God. I thought it would go this way. I prayed it would go this way. I hoped it would go this way. But when God gave you another way, you were brave enough to step up and take it.
Definitely, yep.
And so now you're able to give that kind of hope and another good path to more families. So as you talk about families, in this day and age, there are all kinds of families. But when you say family, what does a family mean to you?
Let me see how I answer that. I guess just parents that are willing to take care of a child. We've had most of our families are your typical mother father family, but we've also had single mothers apply. Actually, our second grant winner was a single mother, but I know that she and other applicants have the support they need. Otherwise, she probably wouldn't have been approved. Home study approved, and then we wouldn't have been able to provide a grant for her. But it's just a loving home, someone who's going to, or someone or a couple who's going to treat the child like it's their own. And
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any success stories or testimonials, or have you worked with anyone that particularly touched your heart?
Well, they're all success stories to me. In terms of who we've actually awarded grants to, our first recipients, they were actually just matched or on the way to being matched when we gave them their grant. So we were able to help them pay down their fees. The second recipient, as I just mentioned, she was a single mother. She already had the child matched. She just needed some help with the funds. And, you know, I'll be careful. I don't want to share everybody's,
right.
you know, personal stories, but I know she really needed, she needed the assistance. So I was glad we were able to provide that for her. I know, well, side note, we're in the process of sending out our third round of grants. I just put some checks in the mail just before calling in, but one of our winners this go around, they had actually already adopted, and they were basically done, you know, with the process. You know, they have older kids in college, so, you know, they weren't trying to go through this again.
Mm-hmm.
But then the, you know, the parent of their, the birth parent of their child had another child and asked them to adopt. So they stepped to the plate and you know, took on that role again of adopted parents. So that, to me, that's very successful. You know, it's important
yeah.
that we keep siblings together when at all possible. So. And then the others that we're awarding, they're all successes in their own way. Some of them are still waiting. Some of them are matched. But, yeah, so I'm looking forward to hearing what comes of those.
How wonderful. I mean, that's remarkable that they were able to keep the siblings together. That is fantastic. And you were able to help them do that, which is also fabulous. When you think about the lives that you are changing with these grants, and I mean, just like that, you know, siblings were able to stay part of the same family. You know, that's life changing.
Mm-hmm.
What do you hope will happen in the lives of these children because of the grants you give?
Well, I hope that these children see themselves in their parents.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yes, obviously, I hope the same that everybody hopes for every kid, that they have a loving home, they're provided for food, shelter, clothing, all that good stuff, you know, education, everything. But specifically for these black and brown children being placed with our families, I want them to be able to be seen. To see themselves and their parents have that representation in their home. And this one thing I like to make clear, you know, I'm not against transracial adoption, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's actually a lot more programs these days than in the past that are helping, you know, transracial adoptive families kind of navigate all the different racial issues and cultural issues and all that comes with adopting a child that doesn't look like you.
Mm.
And, you know, I'm all for that. But kind of back to what got me to start, what is it made no sense that we had all these programs to help interracial adoption, adoptive families, but no programs to recruit more black families. So, and like I mentioned earlier, there's birth mothers, expected mothers that are black that are asking for this and don't have access. And on top of that, you know, I follow a lot of transracial adoptees on social media.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all saying the same thing, you know, that for the most part, they, you know, they love their adoptive families. They're not all, you know, anti-interracial adoption, but they've had some serious struggles, you know, growing up as Black women and men in predominantly white homes or white neighborhoods, to parents who, you know, adoptive parents who, you know, love them and provide for them, but just didn't get a lot of the stuff that comes with being Black and brown in our country. So, you know, through helping facilitate adoption with Black parents, we're helping that, helping to alleviate that. So, I mean, they already, adoptees already have enough to deal with just being adoptees, right? So if we can make it so at least the parents, you know, reflect their culture, that's a step in the right direction.
Recently,
I don't know if I answered your question.
No, that's perfect. Thank you for your answer, because recently in social media and in popular culture, there's been a lot of discussion about the visibility of transracial and racial adoptions because of a television show called This Is Us.
Yes.
And yeah. I don't, are you familiar with that show?
Yeah, my wife was caught up on all the episodes, so we're looking forward to see what happens in the last season. Yeah.
Right, exactly. And, you know, as we watch This Is Us, it actually follows the journey of a character named Randall, who is mm-hmm. adopted as of just an amazing array of coincidences and events, and all this can, you know, put him in a family that dearly loves him, dearly mm-hmm. loves him. But he is journeying through the disconnect, you know, the reconciling culture and his family of origin and all of this. And so that show has really led to a lot of very open dialogue and a lot of exchanges of ideas. And they're not all angst-ridden and, you know, terrible. They're just across the board, the human experience.
Yeah.
So I wonder what you think about a portrayal of a character and actually, and then other people in the show, in the cast, also have adopted children, you know, throughout the seasons and all that. Kate has adopted a daughter, and there was a lengthy storyline about a open adoption and things like that. What do you think of the representation of adoption in popular culture?
Well, I think it varies. You know, it's not all the time that you see it in shows and movies, but the ones I've seen, you know, it's mixed. This Is Us, I believe, does a really good job of showing what's involved in adoption. It's hard to say that it's exactly what happens, because everybody's experience is different.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they did a good job, personally. Trying to think of there's other... I'm blinking now. I know my wife and I recently watched a movie from a couple of years ago, and I'm blinking out what it was called. But anyway, it was, you know, if I wanted to nitpick, there were some things in the movie that might not have been totally accurate, but it looked like they were trying to, mm-hmm. you know, be somewhat accurate. But then I think historically it's maybe hasn't been so accurate. You know, it seems like, you know, they often show people just instantly get these kids or you know, things are all happy all the time. You know, it's not always like that. And I don't know if it's pop culture or just people in general, but what I see, a lot of folks, particularly, you know, adoptees, speak about is how, you know, everything seems to be centered around the adoptive parents, but not necessarily the adoptee. You know, adoptive parents are always shown as, you know, the savior or, you
mm-hmm.
know, the good, and the birth parents are, you know, oftentimes shown as evil or really bad, and it's it's not that black and white often. You know, there's people are trying to move the, what do you call it, the discussion away from being centered around the adoptive parents as much, and trying to rightfully circle or center everything around the adoptee voices. And I think like with shows like This Is Us, they're in pop culture in general, they're trying to follow suit.
Excellent. We've come a long way from losing Isaiah, right? Where Halle Berry is a drug addicted mother, and you know, loses a Jessica Lange adopts her child, and it's a long way from that to This Is Us, which seems to try to have an empathetic view for everybody involved. How did the family of origin, and then the adoptive family? I mean, everyone is seen as trying to do the best they can, whatever that means. Whatever that means.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that. When we start talking about adoption and we start talking about moving it into communities, you know, you're giving grants, you're making a way for people to build families. How do we start that conversation? I mean, you mentioned that, you know, there might even be a concern that you don't have enough faith if you choose to start adopting, or if you there may be people who are suspicious or superstitious. Even there's folklore about, you know, you don't know who the kids are or who their parents are, or whatever. How do we start a conversation that sets people free to choose adoption as an option to build their families?
Well, I don't know that there's necessarily a one size fits all, but I know just spreading information. I mean, that's what we've been doing on our social media. We don't just post when there's a grant available and then the winners and that's it. You know, we try to share, you know, information about adoption in general or adoption specific to the Black community. We've, last month, we featured a bunch of Black adoptive moms.
Beautiful.
And this month, we're going to do the same for Black adoptive dads, just for visibility, not to, you know, all it was last month was, this is a picture of this Black adoptive mom. This is what either her friend or her spouse or someone had to say about her and why she's a great mom. And that was it, just showing that we adopt, you know, like our name suggests, we adopt too, just trying to get the message out there to kind of demystify it. What else have we done? I won't get into everything we've posted, but I mean, we're just trying to get the word out. That's the other side of what we do. We're trying to educate whoever will listen to us and follow us about adoption. And even if our posts, you know, don't disseminate every little piece of information, you know, at least when people see our posts, you know, they're thinking about adoption where, you know, maybe they weren't before. And I'm not the only one. It's interesting that last November, I guess technically before November, people started doing their thing, but it just seems like last November, a bunch of us came together, a bunch of like different, I don't know what you call us. We're a 501c3 nonprofit. There's another 501c3 nonprofit, but there's more of like a Facebook group. And then, you know, there's another woman who's doing stuff for, you know, minorities and adoption up in New Jersey. And then some, there's a team that do podcasts on Blacks and adoption. They're called Black to the Beginning. But I mean, we all came together as part of a Black adoption collective. So there's a lot of us out there trying to spread to make it clear that we do adopt, and we're doing it successfully. We're doing it well. One of the people we collaborated with, actually the person who pulled us all together, she, maybe not too long before I started, started a Facebook group and social media presence called Fab Moms, Fabulous Adoptive Black Moms, where it's it's a whole group of Black adoptive moms. So we're, you know, people are out here just trying to get the word out. So that's again, I'm kind of getting off track, but that's one way to start the conversation, is to just get out there and show people that we're out here.
Oh, that's marvelous. I think I loved everything you just shared with us, because I know right now that idea, that seed is being planted in someone's heart. And when we come back from commercial, I want to really talk about how we can support what you're doing, how we can help what you're doing, and how we can support families who are adopting, and some perhaps some insight from your own journey that will help other families. So everyone stay right there. We'll be right back.
Lord, can you come and save her? Better believe it, get on your knees and pray hard. Then pray hard and never look back. Once the world forgave you,
COVID-19 is a killer, and it's killing Black people at a higher rate. We make up 75% of COVID deaths in D.C., but we can change that. COVID-19 is passed through droplets and suspended particles in the air. That's why wearing a mask is critical. Face masks combined with physical distancing would help reopen the economy more safely and crush a second or third COVID wave. Wear a mask for your family, friends, and you.
Email from school about the incident today.
Scary.
Tell me about it. Did you have any idea that was going on?
None. I mean, you saw Derek at the game last night, too. Did you have a clue?
No, but you know, teachers like me, parents, we don't always know as much as you guys do. Kids hear first about what's going on with other kids.
Half the time, it's rumors.
It can be hard to tell sometimes, but if you have a concern about a friend who's having trouble with alcohol, prescription drugs, bullying, violence, anything, you need to tell an adult. Mom or me, a teacher, coach, school counselor, someone you know and trust.
Dad, no kid is gonna tell an adult about that kind of stuff.
I get it, but if we don't know, we can't help. Speaking up about a problem, that's what helping a friend is all about.
Hey, wake up. You can't dream your way into college. There are actual steps you need to take, steps that go beyond just getting good grades. So if you're serious about college, visit knowhowtogo.org today. Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation for Education, and the Ad Council.
Every day we take steps to keep the people we love safe. But some health risks are easy to miss. Ticks hiding in the yard can spread germs that can cause Lyme disease and Rocky Mountain spotted fever. Mice searching for sources of food can spread bacteria and disease. Mosquitoes breed in standing water and can transmit illnesses like West Nile virus and Zika virus. Cockroaches are drawn to water in the home and can leave behind allergens that trigger asthma attacks. Stinging insects attack in defense of their nests and send more than 500,000 people to the emergency room every year. Household pests are a threat to our health. Learn what you can do to protect your family at pestworld.org.
Do you overcook your pasta? Do you mix your lights with your darks and tell long, complicated jokes that have no punchline? Do you have trouble wrapping gifts, sound like a hyena when singing happy birthday, and have no idea how the metric system works? Well, if you answered yes to any of the above questions, you may have what it takes to adopt a teen from foster care, because teens don't need perfection, they need you. So if you can't tie a Windsor knot, forget to defrost the chicken, can't tell a latte from a cappuccino, confuse North and South Dakota, overuse commas, throw a frisbee like it's a flounder, and still believe kids really do love lima beans, broccoli, and Brussels sprouts, it's okay. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to put up with you. For more information on how you can adopt, call 1-888-200-4005 or go to AdoptUsKids.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
We all make choices. When it comes to alcohol, kids make choices whether to drink or not.
Bye, Dad.
Bye-bye.
Remember, I'm going to Alex's party tonight and sleeping over.
Have fun. Hey, Em, have a seat for a second. Remind me about that party again.
Alex is just...
And adults make choices whether to talk about it. That's true of parents and every other trusted adult in a kid's life. Kids want to know our expectations when it comes to alcohol and other drugs. They want guidance and honest answers to their questions. And it makes a difference when the message is consistent and part of everyday conversations. So talk with your kids and help lead them on a positive path. Because when you talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Presenting Great Moments in the History of 1-800-FED-INFO. For years, Americans have turned to 1-800-FED-INFO for government information. Make your own great moment. Call 1-800-FED-INFO. It's government made easy.
Peace Corps. Life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or visit PeaceCorps.gov.
My name is Dr. Dawn Karima, and we are truly enjoying a beautiful visit with a person who dearly loves families and is helping folks to build strong, loving homes and families. Would you reintroduce yourself to us, please?
Hello, this is Aaron Johnson, founder and president of What Black Family Adoption Assistance.
I'm so glad you're here today. So how can we find you? How can we partner with you? Perhaps there are families right now. You know, somebody's telling their sister-in-law all about you, or someone's thinking, oh, I know exactly what I would like to do. How can folks partner, donate, find out more about you, connect with you?
Well, first start is our website, www.whatadoptions.org. That's WATADOPTIONS.org. You can click the link at our website to give, to donate if you like. That's, you know, because we, you know, money doesn't grow on trees. You know, we need, we run on donations. So, That's a huge way people can help, so we can keep giving out these adoption grants. And, yeah, so far people have been stepping up and really helping us. But, you know, we need to consistently raise money. So that's a big way people can help. Also, on our website is where you can apply for our grant. We don't have a new grant period or window open right now, because we just this weekend determined the winners of our third cycle. Like I mentioned earlier in the show, I just put the checks in the mail. Then maybe within the next couple weeks, we'll announce when the new window opens. But when that is open, you can apply on our website if you're looking to apply for one of our grants. And just some information on that. In order to apply for one of our grants, you must be home study approved. I won't get into why, but essentially that just makes sure we're giving to the right people.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you just want to, you know, learn more about adoption, or just, you know, see, like I was saying earlier in the show, just visibly see Blacks in adoption, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Technically, we're on Twitter, but I'm not active on there. I haven't learned the whole Twitter world yet. But you can definitely check us out on Facebook or Instagram at What Adoptions. That's at the little at symbol, WAT adoption, just like the website. So you can follow us. We announce when our grant windows are open on social media as well as other things. And also, I didn't mention earlier, if you're already in the process of adopting and your home study approved, we have what you call, what we call Black HAP posts. HAP standing for Hopeful Adoptive Parents. So every second Friday, we make the post, and in the comments, Black HAPs, feel free to share your information, how people can reach out to you if you're looking to be matched, or how people can donate to you. If you have, say, a GoFundMe or some other kind of fundraiser, you can post on that. And within the last few months, we started doing individual Black HAP features where on Mondays, we didn't get to have one the last couple Mondays, but on Mondays we were featuring a Black HAP. So they have their post to shine and, say, this is us, this is, we're open to out-of-state placement, boy, girl, both. This is how you reach us, this is how you can help our fundraising, same stuff as our Black HAP Fridays, but just individualized. So, people can follow us and check out those posts and reach out to us if they want to be featured. And if they want to reach out to us personally, they can either message us on our social media or they can email us at info@whatadoptions.org.
Perfect. That is wonderful. There's so much in what you're saying that I want to discuss so much more with you. But since you've had the benefit of experience in this journey and you've had your own personal experiences, what advice would you give an adoptive family just starting out?
First would be to check your motives.
Okay.
I know we all have different reasons for starting. I'm not saying it's wrong to start because of infertility or because you have a desire to start a family, because those were, our desires. But it has to be more than that. I tend to agree with, the way things are moving now in the adoption world, that things need to be more adoptee-centered, because those are the people we're doing this for. We're not doing this for ourselves. We're doing it for the children. So make sure you're willing to, not just treat these kids like they're your own blood relatives, but be willing to do the work to, address whatever issues that come with adoption. I would say be open to being open. Traditionally adoptions have been closed, but it's not like that anymore. At least that's the trend. And the openness varies in different levels, but I'm pretty sure the studies all show that it's better for the adoptees. So, I guess along those lines, don't be afraid of their birth families, embrace it. Unfortunately, we don't have contact with our oldest, not by our choice. We just haven't heard from her. But our youngest, we've had contact and interaction. It's been fine. They're not, like you might see in some shows, they're not, monsters that are going to try and steal their children back. Just think of it as more family for your child. It's the best thing if you can maintain a relationship, or even if you don't have that, relationship with the birth family, make sure you're open to speak with your adoptee, age appropriately about, the circumstances, and support them and seeking out their birth family, that sort of thing. Because again, like I say, this should be centered around the adoptee, not your preferences or needs. You want to be honest with yourself about what you can handle, but we're in this to serve these children, not ourselves. And then just have a plan and stick to it. I mean, well, let me rephrase that. Not necessarily rigidly stick to it, because things change in adoption. You got to be flexible. But, you know, just when at all possible, stick with your plan. And when I say that, I mean more of the, you know, paperwork and you know, doing all the stuff that you have to do to finish your home study, because that was actually what almost ended us. I'll try to make it quick, but the one thing that almost stopped us from adopting was our drug test. And no, we weren't on drugs.
Oh my goodness! Like, I was like, what?
No, we weren't on drugs or anything like that. But it was so frustrating just to get the right panel. Our forms for our home study said we needed this panel, and we took it to the lab and said we need this, and they gave us the wrong one, and we tried to say we need this one, and they're like, well, you need to go back to your primary care doctor for them to sign off, and even though your adoption agency forms say this. And it was a big whole ordeal, and we were so frustrated. We were like, is this really worth it? I just share that to say, don't let the details bog you down. You would think it'd be something like, something more emotional, touchy-feely that would slow us down. Like, no, it was that kind of stuff that made us almost quit, because it was really frustrating dealing with that type of stuff. But just, you know, stay focused, stay the course, and, you know, I'll leave it at that.
I think that's so important. For, you know, because as people start off, some people start off in a point of being starry-eyed, and some people start off, you know, different places emotionally in this journey. And it helps to have the kind of mentoring that you just offered right there, you know, that it won't necessarily all be easy or rosy or fun, but it will all be worth it, you know. And so when you look at your adoption journey and you look at the things you did have to go through and how you had to, oh, well, everything. what do you, is it worth it?
Is it worth it?
Is it worth it?
Yes, it's definitely worth it. We love our son. I mean, I don't know what else to say to that. It's definitely worth it.
It's definitely worth it. I know that. And the reason I wanted to hear you say that is because someone else needs to hear you say that. They need to, you know, as they're getting ready for the home study, or they're trying to piece the money together, or trying to decide if they should borrow from their retirement plan, or, you know, this is their second or third try, you know, trying to figure out what to do. They needed to hear you say that. They needed to hear you say that, because you know, and you've been through it. So what advice would you give adoptees? You know, we've talked about the parents and the ways that people can build their families, but what about people who have been adopted? What would you say to them?
You know, I hesitate to say, you know, anything. I mean, I can't speak on behalf of adoptee, as I'm not an adoptee. I mean, I have thoughts of my own, but I don't know. I guess I'd, the only thing I guess I could say is just try to have a balanced view of things, I guess. But I don't know. That's a tough one, because I don't want to get in the business of telling them how they should feel about
no,
the situation.
No.
But
Just,
I don't know what to say to that. Yeah.
It seems as if love is at the core of all of this. You know, your organization is certainly operating out of a place of love by sharing and helping other families who have a desire to express the love in their hearts by even having a family in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you think about this great undertaking that your nonprofit is and the things that you're doing in people's lives simply because of love, which is the root and foundation of families, and all of that, you know, what can the rest of us do? What can we do to make lives better for parents that are adopting? What can we do for, you know, making our communities and our situations, our churches, our schools, wherever we are, a more positive place for families that are adopting?
Just be supportive. It can be in various ways. I already mentioned, you know, we run on donations, but even, you know, we can't give to every family, you know, unless we get millions of dollars. So, you know, there's still going to be a lot of families out there that we can't reach that are still fundraising. If you see a family fundraising for their adoption, give them money if you can, you know, help them out there. You know, once they adopt, do the same things you would do for, you know, a family that has children, you know, the traditional biological way, you know, give them a shower, like a baby shower, or I forget what they call them for. I think they're still baby showers.
Yeah, anyway, they are.
That type of stuff, you know, what else? Treat just like the parents are to treat the children like they're their own biological children. Treat them like they're your friends, your community members, biological children. Don't treat them any different than anybody else. You know, help babysit. Just the same things you would do for anybody else's kids. Just treat them the same. Don't treat them like outsiders. You know, be respectful in what you share. I believe everyone should disclose to their children about their adoption, you know, from an early age, you know, age appropriate. You know, obviously there's some things you can't share with a 3-year-old regarding their circumstances that maybe you can share with a teenager, but still, you know, we already have our books, you know, teaching our kids about adoption. But anyway, not to get too far off the point, you know, just be respectful. And if you know that, you know, some things haven't been shared with the child yet, don't spill the beans, you know, just, I guess, just with anybody, you know, stay out of people's business, I guess, you know, don't stir things up unnecessarily. Just be wise in what you say regarding their adoption. And a matter of fact, sometimes it's probably just better just not to say anything regarding their adoption, because back to what I was saying before, treat them like anybody else. Don't qualify who they are based on them be adopted. You know, don't go to a kid and say, you're lucky to be adopted by so-and-so. Don't do that. Just don't do stuff like that. Be sensitive to the situation. Mm-hmm. Just err on the side of keeping your mouth shut, I guess. Yes, and just sum it all up, just treat them how you would treat any other kid.
Beautiful. That's wonderful. What do you want us to know about your organization that we may not already know?
Well, I think I might have mentioned this earlier, but it's a 501c3 nonprofit, so any donations are tax deductible. Let's see, what else? We have a board, so it's not just me making the decisions as to who wins these grants. We don't have any employees at this time. We're brand new. We just started almost a year ago. Well, technically more than that, behind the scenes work, but we officially launched last June. So we're learning a lot, but we have no paid employees at this time. Maybe one day in the future, once we're more established. But so yeah, it's just kind of me and a few other people running the day to day. So what else? I don't know. I think I've said most of what we do and who we are.
You've done an excellent job of sharing that with us. I would love it, as we close right now, if you would just give us a chance, once again, remind us how to connect with you, get in contact with you, so that we can all do that. I mean, everyone's on their phones and their tablets and devices right now anyway, so we might as well go right from here to there.
Well, again, our website is whatadoptions.org, W-A-T, adoptions with an S at the end, .org, and then our handle on Facebook and Instagram is @whatadoptions, the same as yeah, those are the best ways to get in touch with us.
Perfect. That's just perfect. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. We have learned so much from you, and it's so encouraging, and I so much appreciate the work that you're doing in the world to build and to help people build families. This is wonderful. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
By myself now, with my paper and my pen. So many things I wanna say, I just don't know where to begin. Daylight fades to darkness, I see the moon's faint distant glow. Took so long.
Yeah, oh Lord, can you come and save her? Better believe they get on their knees and pray hard, then pray hard, and never look back once the war forgave.
You've got the power, the world's greatest radio, talktainmentradio.com.